With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson talking about native plants. Native plants, you say? Well, yeah. And if you want to talk about native plants and learn more about them and the right plants to use, you know who we go to? We go to Bill DeBoer. Bill is from Woody Warehouse. Their website is woodywarehouse.com. As a matter of fact, his nickname is Woody Native, and he's with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Wilson. How's my favorite Buckeye?
Would that be me?
Well, I know that's a little bit of an oxymoron, but I digress.
Thank you. So is it true they call you Woody Native?
I guess it is now, so we'll roll with it.
All right. Well, we'll just keep that one going, I hope, anyway. So why – let me ask you this. We had you on earlier, and I think, you know, folks sometimes are like, native plants, I don't get it. What is the deal with native plants? Just very briefly, what is the deal with native plants?
Well, I mean, you've already kind of detailed it, Ron. I mean, these are using plants that are acclimated to your area, and especially now in times of drought, plants that are acclimated to this area.
Uh-oh. Did we lose him? We lost him. All right,
I'll try him back again.
Well, we'll try this again. We'll get him back on here. Talking about natives, though, with Bill DeBoer, and that's from Woody Warehouse. And, of course, their website is woodywarehouse.com. And one of the things he was talking about there is the fact that with native plants, and there's big, obviously you're reading about this more and more all the time, you know, native plants being used more and more in the landscape. And sometimes it can be a little bit confusing. What are the native plants? There's a new term out there called nativars, which are selections of native plants that do something a little bit different than that original selection, or maybe do something a little bit better or more landscape desirable. It's out there, and you're seeing, again, native plants being grown and sold more and more in the garden centers, being more and more used in the landscape. And, of course, as we talk about pollinator plants, and taking care of the pollinators and bees and butterflies and things like that, we again turn toward, rather than non-natives, to be looking at native plants to start to put that diversity of native plants into our landscapes, into our understories. You know, there's a lot of us out there that have wooded areas that, you know, is just filled up with honeysuckle. Honeysuckle, a non-native invasive plant that has just taken over our forested areas. It's phenomenal what it has done. And not just the forested areas, but, you know, non-maintained areas, and just continues to just wipe everything out. Wherever it grows, it just takes care of everything, and nothing else grows there. So you spend a lot of hard work. You go in there, you clean it all out, but then the question comes back, all right, so I cleaned all this out. What do I use as an understory? What do I come back with as far as replanting? So that I can bring back in the native understory, the native plants that are there. And, you know, again, you've got to do some homework. You got to do a little bit of work. And I think every state, no matter where you are, as I look through them a lot, have come up with some pretty good lists for you as far as native plants that you might want to consider using when you're doing that, as far as replanting and all. And that's one of the reasons why we had Bill on this morning. Their particular company, the nursery that he works with, excuse me, actually specializes in growing a lot of these native plants. Now we get you back again.
We did, Ron. I mean, you told me to be brief, so that's what I had for you.
I didn't expect you to be quite that brief. So anyway, we're talking about natives and why you want to use them. And I think I kind of filled that in for you as far as what, you know, why we want them. So, you know, so when we're thinking about planting, my point was being is that, you know, you've got to do a little homework, see what the native plants are that are available out there. Are you finding that, you know, obviously you guys grow those and provide those to nurseries and garden centers around the area, more and more of a demand for that, and you're seeing more of it being produced out there? Because at one time, finding native plants in a lot of garden centers or nurseries was kind of tough to find.
No, absolutely. I mean, it is, the demand, as you said, is hot. And, you know, native plants are still a little bit of a niche market out there, but, you know, more and more we get customers saying, man, I want these natives, and how do I find them? And so it's, you know, it's still an uphill climb, but I think as time progresses, you're going to see them appear in garden centers near you more and more.
And I, you know, we had talked earlier this week, and you had talked about, you know, when you're choosing plants, you know, you work with the native plants. You do the same thing you would for any landscaping or choosing new plants. You talk about choosing the plants, determining how big they're going to get, how far away from the foundation to plant, spacing and things like that. So when it comes to native plants, it's no different than planting non-natives. It's you got to do a little homework and plant for the future growth of that plant.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's, you don't plant for today, you plant for tomorrow. And that's probably the number one error of anyone when you start planting around your home is, you know, what's the maximum size of this plant? Doesn't matter if it's native or non-native. You want to space accordingly based on what that plant is going to grow into, not what it is today. And so planning is just number one. You'll be a lot happier with the result if you plan ahead and map things out accordingly.
And, you know, at first when you plant, it's probably going to look a little open, and you're going to have to add a little bit more mulch for a few years until they start to fill in. But once they do, you won't be out there pruning them every year trying to keep them under control because you planted them at the right spacing. And that gets me so frustrated sometimes because somebody will call and say, how do I keep this plant, you know, under such height so to hang on the sidewalk? Well, if we had planned ahead and planted it properly, it wouldn't be doing that for you right now. You wouldn't have to be pruning. So dig it and move it somewhere else and put something else in there. So anyway, talking with Bill DeBoer, talking about using native plants. Of course, their website is woodywarehouse.com. And we it always goes so fast. Let's just jump right into talking about some good suggestions from native plants. Let's talk, first of all, let's talk about understory trees. Got any good suggestions?
No, absolutely. And, you know, today I just want to, you know, put aside the big trees, you know, that we can talk about those another day. But understory trees, and some people may say, well, you know, what is an understory tree? And we're really talking small trees here, trees that are going to get a maximum of 25, 35 feet tall and 15, 20 feet wide. And we've got some amazing understory small trees at our disposal. And I'd say number one on my list is service berries. So we have downy, smooth. I mean, the list is endless. We've got service berries that, you know, get large, some that stay small. And really why this is number one on my list is you get fragrant, showy flowers in the spring. You get edible berries that the birds love come late May, June, and then you just get wonderful fall color. And outside of boggy conditions, this is one adaptable tree for the landscape.
I always call that dinner and a show.
Exactly. And then I would say another underutilized specimen would be American hornbeam or musselwood. And hop hornbeam or ironwood.
Absolutely.
I mean, these are two things that you see when you go out there hiking, and man, when you pull them out into a little more full sun, they're really just, you know, beautiful trees. You know, musselwood lives up to its name. The bark kind of is smooth, dark gray, and looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of muscle there. And then ironwood.
Come here, then use me for an example.
Well, I was going to,
okay.
But, you know, I just went with, you know, a
sure.
little bit more recognizable.
Everybody knows
but
also Arnold. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah absolutely. And then you have ironwood that has a nice multi-tone kind of flaky bark to it. So that's another great one to put in the landscape. And then I would say this is probably one of the most unknown ones that if I could encourage people to go out there and buy one, it would be pagoda dogwood, or also known as alternate leaf dogwood.
I love that plant.
Absolutely beautiful. I mean, if there's one understory thing that I would say make this the showpiece around your house, it would be this one, because you've got, once again, you've got flowers in the springtime. During midsummer, you've got this blue fruit that the birds will hit before it's even ripened. And then once it drops its leaves, you've got this amazing architectural pagoda-like form. So it really gives you interest, you know, year-round.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when the leaves drop is when it, you know, it's like my Corollis Contorta. When the leaves drop, that's when I think it looks the best, because you see that branching habit is just phenomenal.
No, absolutely. And it's just, once again, it's one of those hidden gems that, you know, I wish we saw in the landscape a little bit more, because I know people would say, man, that is a beautiful tree.
Pagoda dogwood. Okay, we got about a minute to go, and we'll take a quick break and come back to you. Two more.
So the next one that I would go with needs a little protection, but is Sweet Bay Magnolia. So it's a semi-evergreen in our area. Magnolia leaves are two-tones. When the wind's blowing, it kind of gives you, you know, an interesting little visual. But my favorite part of it is it blooms young in age, mm-hmm. and the blooms are just highly fragrant. And this is a small tree that just wants to keep blooming and give you short bursts of fragrant flowers. And the fact that it's evergreen, and, you know, in the Midwest, we don't have too many things that are giving us color in the middle of winter. It's just kind of a nice selection.
You know, and I like that you see it sold so much as a multi-stem, and it's a nice multi-stem plant. I love those in a single stem.
No, and absolutely. And that kind of, you know, begs the question of, you know, some of these things, multi-stemmed, are like with river birch. That's been the traditional thing, but, you know, it's interesting when you actually let it develop as kind of more of a single stem tree look. And I think you're going to see that kind of thing more and more.
Hey, Bill, we got to take a break. I got a hard break here. We'll come back to talking with Bill DeBoer this morning from Woody Warehouse, talking about those native plants. And, of course, their website is woodywarehouse.com. Quick break. We come back. We'll continue on with this great list of native plants you may want to consider for your landscape here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Landscaping made easier with your personal yard boy. He's in the garden, and he's Ron Wilson.
Welcome back. Talking with Bill DeBoer this morning from the Woody Warehouse, talking about native plants. And he's got a long list here. We're not going to be able to get through all of the plants because we just have about 10 minutes to go here. But what I will do, Bill, is I'll ask any of our listeners that are interested in this list, you just email me, go to ronwilsononline.com, and I will send you this list of Bill's suggestions here for these trees and shrubs. So we didn't mention choke cherry. We'll throw that one out there for the trees. But let's look at the shrubs, because I think there's some interesting ones here, especially that New Jersey tea. I want you to talk more about that. I think we need to learn more about that one. And, of course, you'll be happy to know our plant of the week this week happens to be bottle brush buckeye, just for you.
No, absolutely, and I'll try to be brief, Ron, because you're right. I mean, the list, we could talk about 3 hours on all these guys. So I'll just go with kind of by size, large, medium, small, kind of my favorites. I'll surprise you with one. So on the larger shrubs, dwarf chinquapin oak. So, and you heard me right, you're wanting a oak tree, quotation marks, that is not a tree, it's a shrub, dwarf chinquapin oak. You'll get acorns on an 8-foot tall shrub.
Dwarfed? I've never seen that. Dwarf chinquapin.
It's a rarity out there. We grow it, and it's just kind of a great way to take the power and the majesty of an oak and, you know, shrink it down to about 10, 12 feet.
Cool. Sounds great.
Obviously, you said bottle brush buckeye. That is just a beautiful understory, kind of 10 by 10. I'd also throw in red buckeye just because the hummingbirds love that one. Mm-hmm. That's another great one. And then buttonbush. I mean, you want to talk about in the same vein as New Jersey tea. That thing is just covered with, you know, showy white flowers. You will be amazed at how many pollinators come and visit that one. Just give it space because it gets 10 by 10 easily.
Not a lot of folks know about buttonbush, but I think once you see it and you see the flower, it's a nice shrub.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, it likes wet feet, but it is adaptable to more mesic, you know, landscape, you know, soil moisture levels. Mm-hmm. And then medium ones, Ron, I would go with dogwoods here, viburnums. Just, you want to talk about, you know, showy flowers, fruit for the birds. You know, arrowwood is out there. That's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
One I'd throw is, you know, blackhaw is another one. Just beautiful fall color. This time starts to get kind of purplish maroon. Just really pretty. And then, as you said, small New Jersey tea. I know I talked about it, you know, a month and a half ago. You want to talk about, you're looking for a native that stays small, you know, you're talking 3x3 maximum and just flowers like crazy. And man, the pollinators just go wild for that one. It's just a great underutilized. It's, you know, we're selling a lot of that. And I think that's going to continue moving forward because it is just an awesome native plant.
Is that a sun or shade or both?
I really give it full sun.
Yeah.
It'll take part sun, but it'll start to get a little leggy. That's one that you want to give it as much sun, and it becomes very drought tolerant once it's established. So easy maintenance.
Well, I know that's become one of your favorites, and I know you talk about it more and more all the time. But, you know, when you do, when you learn more about this plant and you see it, it's a wonderful plant. Again, a great pollinator magnet, like you said, 3x3, so it's very stays contained. Great for in the landscape, but that's one you'll probably see more and more out there in those native plant selections, New Jersey tea plant, which, again, you're going to see it more and more. There's no doubt about it. You know, we've got about 3 minutes to go here. A couple of things here I want to go back to. One is St. John's wort happens to be on your list. I love that shrub.
No, and that's another one that you do see some cultivars out there. It's starting to get, you know, I think a little bit more mainstay in the nursery business. But that's another great one when you think about a landscape native. You know, shrubby St. John's wort only gets 5x5 at maturity. There's another one, calm St. John's wort, that's going to stay a little smaller, 3-4 feet tall and wide. But, man, you talk about it's best described as yellow fireworks. I mean, when that shrub is in bloom, it is absolutely like yellow explosions. It's just such a unique flower that, man, that's another one that I'd encourage people. Go out there, take a look, get that plant, because, man, that's a beauty.
It is, and of course the berries are absolutely outstanding. And you see them used a lot in floral arrangements and all as well, but it's an absolutely gorgeous plant. And one more I'm going to mention here because I think it's another plant that's way underused, and this goes in your large category, is witch hazel.
Absolutely, and that's one highly adaptable. You know, we tend to see it in the wild and kind of the understory and more shade. It can take full sun. It gets bigger, so definitely 15, 20 feet tall and wide, slow grower. But the novelty of that one is yellow flowers in the fall. So when everything else is shutting down and not doing much, that's when witch hazel decides, hey, it's time to put on a little bit of a flower show for you.
And guess who's going to appreciate that?
I think, Ron, it would be those pollinators to get that end of season little drink.
You got it. Hey, Bill DeBoer, and again, and he's from the Woody Warehouse, and their website is woodywarehouse.com. I have his list, and we didn't hit every plant that's on here, but it's a great list. If you're doing your homework for this, you can go to our website, RyanWilsonOnline.com. I will forward this to you, and, of course, I'll give you their website, too, so you've got a lot of good information on there for you as well. You've got my I wrote this out, and I've got a big exclamation point next to it because I've got to check this one out. Dwarf Chinkapin Oak. Now you got me thinking here on this one. We got to check that one out. Bill, always a pleasure having you on the show. Big Ten football back. Good luck.
All right. Thank you, Ron. Thanks for having me. And go Boilermakers.
That's why I said good luck. Hey, Bill, take care. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Ron. All right. Bye-bye.
Well, a little banter there. Ohio State, the Boilermakers, Purdue, all that stuff. Anyway. Always a pleasure. And again, their website is woodywarehouse.com. Great information there. And a major supplier to a lot of the nurseries and all for native plants as well. So becoming more and more popular all the time. Spice Bush on there, too. Didn't mention that one. Love that one as well. All right, quick break. We come back. We'll take more of your calls at 800-823-8255 here in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Gardening questions? Ron has the answers at 1-800-823-TALK. You're in the garden with Ron Wilson.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.